Welcome to Gathering for Good, where we dive into the heart of our community to share inspiring stories, innovative ideas, and powerful work being done to uplift women and families in Spokane. I am your host today. I'm Geneva Johns, the Operations Director here at Women Helping Women Fund, and I'm thrilled to have you all listening today. For this episode, we're joined by a remarkable leader in our community, Susan McDonald Osborne from Spokane Helpers Network. So we'll explore how Spokane Helpers Network is bridging gaps in our community, the impact of their work, and how each of us can contribute to building a more supportive and resilient Spokane community. So welcome, Susan. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you, Geneva. It's such a delight to be here today. I really appreciate the invitation to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you tell us about the mission of Spokane Helpers Network and what inspired its creation? Because it's very unique and filling such an interesting gap in our community.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Geneva. So our mission is to assist people who are experiencing food insecurity. And we do that in two ways. First, we try to make it very easy for people to find resources in the community. Yeah. We have a wonderful city here with lots and lots of resources for food, for clothing, for hygiene items, and things like that. So we use a Facebook page to point people to resources. And by the way, we also point them to fun activities because we want to make sure that kids, no matter what their parents' income, have great experiences in childhood. The second way that we assist people is to deliver free food directly to their doorsteps. Yeah. Most of those people find it very difficult to get to food banks.
I remember when we met with you originally, it was such a cool model that you guys deliver directly to families, but then you also help people help themselves. And so I thought that that was just an amazing model, and it's a gap in our community for sure that I'm so glad Spokane Helpers Network is filling. So that's absolutely amazing work. We left that meeting with you just absolutely floored.
Thank you. And it is a fine line. It's a fine line between resources and rescuing.
Yeah.
So we sort of have a foot in both places. We certainly don't want to build a reliance on Spokane Helpers Network, but we want to be there in that moment when you need food. Yeah. You asked about how the network began?
Yeah.
So the network began in the fall of 2020 when many Spokane households were experiencing food insecurity due to COVID-related job loss. And we knew from a study that had been done by the University of Washington and Washington State University that nearly one in three Spokane households with children reported that they were hungry. One in three.
That's so many.
So that sort of is what spurred the inception of Spokane Helpers Network.
Yeah.
Then when COVID quarantines resulted in job loss, I remember making a post to social media offering to anyone who was going through hard times, is there any way that I personally could help them? And not surprisingly, several other people said, I want to help too. I want to help too. And so we started trying in a very reactive, sort of chaotic way to try to help people who just didn't have the finances to make it week to week, whether they were struggling with food or clothing or gas or whatever we could help with, we tried to respond to. And over the past 4 years, that little group of helpers that started out on the South Hill has grown now into a 501c3 nonprofit, and we have 115 giving members.
Wow. It's absolutely amazing what you've accomplished with just what started out as a Facebook post.
Right.
Can you, I just think that this is fascinating. Can you tell us what you did before you started Spokane Helpers Network? This is the most fascinating thing to me, that you just came into this new community and started this amazing thing. So can you tell us about your background before you got here?
Sure. Some of it was serendipity almost. A lot of it was COVID is what launched us. But so my background is in human performance technology. I was a consultant who looked at organizations, looked at employees and said, what can we do in our organization to increase the performance of employees? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was around new technology, new hiring practices, changing management practices, rewards, compensation, training, whatever. And I loved building programs.
Yeah.
For example, I was the national training director for the 2010 census and built a huge training program, and we trained 6,000 people in 3 weeks. And it just these challenges of seeing an issue, a problem, a challenge, and going, how can I build a program? That's kind of my heart.
Yeah.
So when I came to Spokane, which was about 7 years ago, I wanted to have a local client. Mm-hmm. I had always been in Washington, D.C. area, okay. and my clients were all over the country, but I wanted to work with a local Spokane company. I was so fortunate that Northwest Farm Credit Services hired me. They're now, I think, AgWest.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful company, full of really caring people who want to make sure that farmers and ranchers do well and all that kind of thing. We're all fed.
Yes.
Well, when COVID started, I had just wrapped up a one-year project with them. And because of our mutual partnership and the way we all work together, client and my team, it was a great success.
Yeah.
And so we were going to start another year-long project. And I'm so happy. You know,
yeah.
I owned my own business. And I got a call from my client, and he was very apologetic. And he said, Susan, the money that we had planned to outsource this project to you, we're going to bring that project in-house and divert that money to Second Harvest.
Yeah.
And I thought, of course, that's the right thing to do. You work with farmers.
Yeah.
You know? They need to be able to sell their food, and we need to feed people during COVID. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's what planted the seed.
Yeah.
And so I just retired and closed my business. And then a couple of months later, I went, and that's Spokane Helpers Network. But thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, I just think it's fascinating that you can come into a space and see the need and then just fall in love with it like a lot of us, you know, have and do and give back.
I'll borrow from another local nonprofit, Light Attracts Light.
Yeah.
And I think you get a small group of people who are joyful and they want to take action and they want to help. And that's magnetic. And so more and more and more people want to be part of that.
Yeah. So what are some of the key programs or services that Spokane Helpers Network offers to the community?
Yeah. We have two programs, actually. Both involve delivering free food and free hygiene items, including feminine hygiene items, to people who are struggling. One is for people who are just experiencing a temporary financial setback.
Okay.
Maybe I had to spend my grocery money to get the brakes fixed on my car this month. And my EBT, my SNAP assistance, has run out after 3 weeks and my card doesn't reload for another week.
Yeah.
So I've got a few kids and I have nothing in the house to feed them. Those are the people that we deliver to usually two or three times. And then we say to them, okay, you know, hopefully you're past that financial crisis and here are all the resources in the world.
Yeah.
You're young, you're healthy, and you've got transportation, or we'll get you a bus pass or bus fare to get to a food bank.
Yeah.
You know, off you go.
Yeah.
Then we have a program called Feeding Our Homebound Neighbors. And that's the program where we deliver biweekly for as long as people need us.
Okay.
People are in that program for multiple reasons. Yesterday, I had a call from a social worker who said, I have a 23-year-old young woman who just had surgery. She has 6 to 8 weeks more of recovery. Is there anything that you can do for her? Mm-hmm. And obviously, she's too young for Meals on Wheels.
Right, yeah.
Low income, no family, no support. I was just so grateful that Spokane Helpers Network, by the way, she called yesterday, we're delivering food to her home today.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I think that's one of the positive things about Spokane Helpers Network is rapid response time.
Yeah, and that's what amazes me about it so much is that it can fulfill that need. I feel like, and a lot of times even with Women Helping Women, people call and they're like, I need help right now. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, we can't help you, or we have to refer out. And I know that those places can't always help right away either. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love about what you're doing is that it does fill that need pretty quickly. He said within 24 hours, which is absolutely amazing. And that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of coordination.
We have a lot of people helping, a lot. We have a little army of about 85 really active volunteers, and there are about 15 or 20 that deliver for us on the north side. We're also out in Airway Heights, we're in Spokane Valley, and on the South Hill, Omid as well.
That's so cool. So how does Spokane Helpers Network vet those requests? Do you just try to say yes to as many people as possible?
So we're very low barrier, very little paperwork. We don't look at your income. We don't look at what other sources of assistance that you're getting from different programs.
Okay.
Really, the only limit to our helping people are two things. One is we serve people who are in stable housing.
Okay.
And the second is geography. So, you know, we're a Spokane grassroots work out of our homes organization. Our food depots are located on the South Hill and in 5 Mile.
Yeah.
So just logistically getting our volunteers to pick up food and then distribute it we had to put some arms around, you know, a geographic area. But it's a pretty big geographic
area.
It is,
yeah. There's something, too, about preserving the human dignity of people when you're not vetting. And so I love that about what you're doing, is that you're considering the person and preserving that human dignity for someone who's already reaching out and is in a vulnerable spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that as a leader, one of the things I communicate to our service coordinators, people who communicate directly with our recipients, as well as our drivers, is we're not here to judge. I don't walk in the shoes of these people. I don't know what their circumstances are. It's probably not very easy for them to reach out and ask for help and to admit, I can't feed my children. So we're not a social service agency that has to answer to any, you know, higher authority.
Right.
Well, maybe one higher authority.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to be small and agile and flexible and just to be able to help, you know, almost everyone who comes along.
Right.
And by the way, Geneva, the only reason we don't help the homeless is because we have this model of home delivery.
Right.
And frankly, many of us are, you know, retired and we just are careful about the safety of our delivery drivers and what areas they go into.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so how does your organization determine the needs of the community you serve? And how do you incorporate feedback from those that you serve?
Some of it is statistical and some of it is anecdotal. Yeah. I quoted a statistic that's a couple of years old about what was going on during the pandemic. So I rely almost more on our own data and on anecdotal information we get from social services organizations. We get a lot of referrals from case managers, social workers, hospital navigators. They've done the vetting and they're looking for resources and, you know, they're reaching out to Spokane Helpers Network. And I know that, you know, they're sort of already vetted, even though we don't require much vetting.
Right.
The second is that we work with five Title I schools and just provide what little help we can for sort of the oddball needs that staff and teachers might need, whether it's cereal bars or shoes or something, just real unique, small ways of helping in the schools. And so you hear lots of stories about students and their parents who are living in the car, about students who come into the schools with no shoes on. Why don't you have shoes on today, Susie? Because I don't have any shoes.
Yeah.
A little boy who he was wearing probably his big brother or his father's pants and he didn't have a belt and they were falling down and the teachers had no belts. So they tied them up with string, which is not dignified.
No.
So, you know, it's just those stories you hear over and over about what help people need. And then individuals reach out to us through our website and often they, you know, tell us their story. A lot of it is disability.
Yeah.
A lot of it is lack of transportation. A lot of it is, it's difficult to navigate the resources in Spokane. I'm no expert on where to find housing and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But at least we can point people to real basic necessities like food and hygiene.
Right. Yeah. It is hard to navigate. I know when I've looked into it, like if I were to try and do it for myself, I've experimented with it. And it is hard. It's really, really hard.
I think we hear from a lot of people who really are in crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes when I talk to folks, I'll say, how are you doing for food? Are you okay for 24, 48 hours?
Yeah.
And they'll often say, well, I've got some beans that I can, you know, heat up, or no, I have absolutely nothing. Or what am I going to feed my kids tonight?
Yeah.
So I think the need is real.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things we see over and over again is folks who are on EBT, SNAP food assistance, and most, I think, a very high percentage of the people that we serve are getting that SNAP food assistance, but it doesn't last them an entire month.
Yeah.
So after the third week in their month, they have another week before their card reloads and they don't have any food at home. So that's, I think, a huge group that we hear from
often, and
a huge reason for people reaching out to us.
Yeah. You've already kind of shared some anecdotal things and stories, but are there any other stories or an example of how Spokane Helpers Network has made a significant impact in someone's life that you want to share?
Well, let me tell you about a woman. I'll call her Joan. Mm-hmm. That's not really her name. But she's a 50-something blind woman who lives alone on the Lower South Hill. Obviously, it would be almost impossible for her to get on a bus, then wait in line at a food bank for a couple of hours, then get boxes of food, and then carry those boxes of food back on the bus and carry them up a few steps into her apartment. And, you know, that's just not realistic. Yeah. She lives in a part of the South Hill that she's not even comfortable really walking outside, gotcha. Doesn't feel particularly safe. So being too young for Meals on Wheels and not having any family in our area to help her, she was hungry most of the time. Normally, we don't go into the homes of our recipients just for safety purposes. Yeah. But I'm a woman, she's a woman, so I felt okay. And also I wanted to point out to her what was in the bags that we had.
Oh, yeah.
And say, you know, let's put all the cans here and I'll put all the canned vegetables here so you know where they are. And then let's put all the meat here so you know. And I said, may I open your refrigerator? And she said, sure. Ketchup, mustard, that was it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable almost. Yeah. So she was hungry a lot. So thank goodness her social worker reached out to Spokane Helpers Network, and we enrolled her in our Feeding Our Homebound Neighbors program. And every 2 weeks, a volunteer stops by her apartment and drops off food. And she's adorable and grateful. And we asked her what impact the program has had on her life. And she said that her life would be unsustainable. So we're just grateful that she found Spokane Helpers Network.
Yeah, it's those gaps you just don't think about. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day about what can make the difference for people. And it's community. When I look at the times that have been hard in my life where I've needed help, I've had family or friends that I can reach out to help. But if you don't have that, what do you do? Where do you go? It's organizations like this that help create community around people and help them feel valued and loved. And yeah, it just lends them a helping hand when they really can't go anywhere or do anything else. And I think that is such a big role for nonprofits in our community. And it's cool that you can have that impact in someone's life. And it's amazing work, truly.
I did want to mention, you know, sort of anticipating criticism, I guess, of those who are trying to, you know, feed people. And there is some criticism out there. And it's easy to say, oh, go get a job.
Yeah.
Oh, go to a food bank.
Yeah.
I want to recognize that schools provide breakfast and lunch for many of our students, that through the Bike to Go program, kids get weekend snacks. So we're taking care of our children. Even in the summer, it's limited, but you know, we're trying hard to do that. Yeah. But then I think about the whole family and dinner time. So I think we're sort of the dinner providers. In fact, I don't think I've shared this. Can I talk a little bit about our meal kits? So what we have sort of evolved to is delivering 3 well-rounded meal kits with every delivery. Okay. And each meal kit serves 4 people. If there are more than 4 people in the house, we'll augment the meal kits or provide double or whatever. But every meal kit has a protein, at least 1 carbohydrate, like potatoes or rice, vegetable, fruit. And we're doing well enough right now that often we can put pudding or cookies or Jell-O or cereal bars or something like that in with it. So examples of meal kits would be a spaghetti meal kit. Everything you need to make spaghetti dinner for 4 people. Chicken and rice. Taco. Hawaiian skillet. Ham and potato. Spam and macaroni and cheese. So, and each one of those meal kits, we're good shoppers. We get a lot of in-kind donations, and we can feed 4 people for $10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And I just want to give a shout out to our members who donate food over and over and over.
Yeah.
And to our partners who have donated food or made financial donations so that we can purchase food. Yeah. We make 60 meal kits a week. That's up, by the way. A few months ago, 45 meal kits a week was enough to do 15 deliveries. Yeah. Well, we ran out of meal kits, so now we make 60, and they're gone within a week.
I know some of that's need, but also I imagine some of it's just more people know about Spokane Helpers Network, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I think so. I think you're right.
And being able to reach people. So I'm sure in making meal kits and getting funding in and things like that, there are some challenges that you face in your work. So how does your team work to overcome those challenges?
We face the same challenges that all nonprofits face, I would imagine. However, one of our strengths is membership. So we have this membership-driven sort of organizational model where each member agrees to contribute actively.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, Kiwanis or Lions or Rotary, where you're in a service club almost.
Yeah.
And so each member agrees to either contribute their time or make in-kind donations. And by that, I mean, you know, canned tuna or bread or toothpaste or tampons, but make some kind of in-kind donations,
okay,
or by contributing financially. And many, many, many members help in all three ways. So they're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you asked about challenges. So because we distribute food and hygiene items, we're always seeking donations so that we can keep up with the demand. I think I said we have about 85 people who are making it work, and we have never run out of food or hygiene items. We have never not been able to help someone. And I love to share that if I put out a call for something that I need, hey, we need 15 boxes of tacos, taco shells. Those taco shells are on my porch. We call it the global headquarters of Spokane Helpers Network. They're there the next day,
yeah,
no matter what I ask for.
Yeah.
And it's almost like people are, you know, competing almost to see who can respond to these requests. And obviously, with more people needing food, more people needing hygiene products, the more members that we can bring into our sort of giving circle, the better. Because then no one is burdened. It's sort of that many hands make light work idea.
Yeah.
So we're always seeking to engage the greater community so that we're sustainable.
Yeah.
And also so that we're scalable.
Yeah.
As you, I think, maybe just mentioned, the more hospitals, the more social service agencies, the more other nonprofits that hear about us and refer to us, like Women Helping Women, that need is just going to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we certainly welcome members and donors like every other nonprofit.
Like every other. I know it is interesting because Women Helping Women Fund has our giving circle, and we've seen that really just change our trajectory. But there is something about creating community and feeling like you're giving back in some way that really makes a difference for people. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very interesting shift in philanthropy, I think, to see that people want to do more than just donate. They want to get involved with the work. They want to learn more about how they can impact their community. And so I think it's a cool facet of Spokane Helpers Network that you can offer different ways for people to be involved. And as long as they're doing one of them, oftentimes all three, that they can feel like they're giving back to their community and making a difference. And then what I am a little jealous of Spokane Helpers Network, what you guys can do is do things in real time,
right?
Where a lot of, I think, nonprofits, because they can't be as nimble, people get to see the impact of what they're doing just every day, really, with Spokane Helpers Network, which is so cool. So I'm a little jealous of that.
I think what drives that, you know, I'm a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mom. When you think that there might be children out there that don't have dinner, that is not okay.
Yeah.
And that's the message that I try to permeate, you know, through our membership, through anybody who will listen, is we need to be totally intolerant of hunger.
Yeah.
An adult can't go to work. They can't be a good parent if they're hungry.
Yeah.
You send a child to school hungry and expect them to learn and to be, you know, a good classmate, or to, you know, a sporting event and expect them to be a good team player. We can't. That basic need has to be met. And I think that, again, we're just not going to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you also have this heart for helping adults. I think other adults get really hard to that, in that they should be able to help themselves, or why can't they connect to resources? Like for kids, obviously, they can't connect to resources the way that adults can. But when you take care of a whole family and when you take care of your community gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that you call that out as we need to take care of those adults too, because it's important.
Thank you.
So in all the work that you do, collaboration is often crucial. So can you talk about any partnerships or collaborations that have been particularly successful for Spokane Helpers Network?
Sure. I think once we decided to become a 501c3, it almost elevated us a little bit in terms of reputation and accountability and those kinds of things. And we are pretty sophisticated. You know, we have policies and procedures and job descriptions and bylaws and financial systems and tracking systems that enable us to be accountable to any partners.
Yeah.
So I feel like the time is perfect, actually, right now to bring along local businesses, other organizations to help us meet our mission. And we're doing some of that already, and I can give you a couple of examples.
That'd be great.
Okay, so one partner that comes immediately to mind is Second Harvest.
Yes.
And a huge shout out to that team, Jason Clark and Elias Pena and others there. You know, we don't have kitchen facilities.
Yeah.
We don't have food handling licenses. We're not their typical partner.
Yeah.
But yet Jason, you know, just kind of thought a minute and looked kind of pensive. And he goes, I know we can figure out a way to stay within our guidelines and the people they're accountable to, but yet still help us meet our mission. So they provide only non-perishable food to us.
Right.
But we pick up about once a month. And that food is valued at like $500, which is a lot of money for a small organization.
Yeah.
And they give us things like rice and pasta and boxed milk and canned tuna and tomatoes and maybe some other vegetables and often granola bars and things that are fun to be able to put in our meal kit. Mm-hmm. So with their help, we can create these well-rounded meal kits. It doesn't meet our need completely, but it does supplement.
Yeah.
And whatever they give us, we figure out, you know, what kind of meal kit is this going to be? So this has been just a fantastic partnership for us, and we're terribly grateful for it.
Absolutely. I think that's what I enjoy about Spokane so much is I feel like between nonprofits, we find a way to really work together. I know that's not typical of other communities, so I'm very grateful we're in this one that where we can collaborate, and instead of other nonprofits looking at what you're doing and, you know, thinking that it's competing or it's threatening to them. Instead, they're like, how do we bring you alongside us and fill the gap that we can't fill and help you do your work, which is really cool.
Yeah. And that happens all the time.
Really?
It does. And I'll give a couple of examples. I got a call from Crystal Ortega over at Feed Spokane. She said, Susan, I have so much Kirkland popcorn. Can you use it? Absolutely. And she couldn't use it. So sure, we'd love to have that. I needed tampons and pads, two words that I say very easily publicly now, which maybe I wouldn't have 5 years ago. Just put out the call for that. And Allie Norris over at Mission Community Outreach Center said, yeah, we have some to share. Oh. And we do the same thing when we have excess.
Yeah.
And so there's this informal moving of stuff around Spokane so that it gets where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And who cares what organization delivers it? And maybe I'm being naive, but especially within the feeding community, there's a fellow who runs Neighbors Feeding Neighbors. And he always says, hunger and thirst never take a day off. Mm-hmm. And when he needs volunteers, he knows I'm a networker. And he just sends me a note and I try to, you know, blast that they need volunteers. So there's this real, hopefully, connectedness and lack of competition, especially within this feeding group, I think. I wanted to give you another example, though, if you have a minute.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So we have a huge goal right now of collaborating with the business community.
Okay.
So over the last several months, we've instituted this kit-making events for businesses.
Yeah.
My background is in human resource development, so people development, organizational development. It was my career. And I know from research that volunteerism is good for business. When you engage your employees in volunteerism, retention is higher, employee satisfaction is higher, you get, you know, great cred. Is that the right word? In the community?
As a business,
street cred?
Yeah.
There you go.
You're walking the walk.
There you go. Yeah. So it's just good business to help in your community.
Absolutely.
So sort of jumping on that knowledge, we set up these kit making events, and it could be meals or it could be hygiene. And the way it works is that we ask businesses to host an event at their location.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy to cover the cost of employee labor.
Yeah.
And we get plenty of volunteers when we do that.
Yeah.
But we also ask them to cover the cost of the food.
Yeah.
And we've done this, I think, three times so far with Integris Architecture, with Canopy Credit Union, and with Four Degrees Realty. They've all hosted these meal kit events. And they love it.
Yeah.
And one of the people that we met along the way, we just met with this morning, wants to be a board member. So you just never know, you know, how these connections turn out. But we really hope to grow this collaboration between nonprofit and business in this really hands-on way, starting now and into the future. And I think that's a great way for businesses to share, you know, their success, but also engage their employees.
Yeah. And how much is that usually? Like, how much do they cover food-wise?
It depends on how many meal kits or hygiene kits. We we price them at like $10. We're, I won't give you the name of the store that we promote, but you know, we're good shoppers for these things. But it's about $10. So if you want to make 60 kits, takes about an hour.
Okay.
You maybe need a half dozen volunteers, that's $600.
Yeah.
You want to make more kits, it just depends, or do it more often.
Right, yeah.
So those are a lot of fun for people. Everybody likes making the meal kits and the hygiene kits, as you're on a little assembly line, and, you know, we have some fun along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that I say, it's volunteering is very rarely hard, but for some reason, it's like a big barrier for people. Like, once you go do it, you're like, oh, that was easy. Yeah. And it makes such a huge impact for a nonprofit. So yeah, just like get in an assembly line, like go, I don't know. I'm trying to think of all the like just kind of random volunteer things I've done. They're never hard. So just go do them.
Yeah. And especially if you're not making a big commitment, it's one shift, one time.
Yes.
And then, and I think many, many businesses pay you while you're doing that volunteer work. And we've been also fortunate to have just financial support from a lot of organizations in Washington, such as STCU. We were highlighted as their, I don't know, Volunteer of the Month. I should know better, but under their Volunteers Counts program, I got a surprise on a Monday meal kit making event. In comes a camera, and that was a big surprise. It was a lot of fun. But also with that came a $1,000 donation, which was great.
Yeah.
Numerica has helped us, Flatstick, Northtown Insurance, Action Craft Experts, Integrity Insurance, Molina has provided feminine hygiene products, Women Helping Women Fund.
We try.
So, you know, as you, the more we get known, I think those things will continue to happen.
So we've talked about it a little bit, but how can members of the community get involved with or support your work? Any specific volunteer roles or ways to contribute?
Well, I thank you for asking that. That's probably the most important question that a nonprofit leader wants to be asked. We welcome more members. This is a group of people who have come together because they have shared values around kindness, generosity, compassion, giving. And I was new to Spokane when we started the network, and I didn't know anybody. And so here's this surprise, unexpected consequence is I'm surrounded by this nice group of people, and now we're friends. There are wonderful people in the world, and that we need to look at things that make us more alike than the differences between us. So, so that's been great. So please consider, I would say to everyone, becoming a member of Spokane Helpers Network. And I think if you polled our members, they would all say the same thing. And that is, you help when you can, when you've got time, when you maybe have, you know, a little extra in the budget to donate, or, you know, you want to go shopping and make some in-kind donations. No one has to be helping all the time.
Okay.
The more members we have, the more we can spread out those volunteer efforts across, you know, a larger group of people. So become a member.
I love that you brought that up as a way to bring people together and just kind of make our community better and give us something to work toward together where our values align. So thank you for that. Are there any upcoming events or initiatives that our listeners should know about?
Sure. Well, one way, sort of an entry point to get into the network would be to help us on a Monday morning. We do meal kit assembly. It's a lot of fun. It's almost like playing store. We give you a list of things to put in a meal kit and you shop from the shelf and compile those meal kits. You can do the same thing with hygiene kits. It's 1 hour of your time.
Okay.
On Monday morning.
What time on Monday
morning? So about 10 o'clock.
Okay. Women Helping Women Fund might be there at some point
soon. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a good little team builder.
Yeah.
And you produce a lot in an hour. So people are welcome to get involved in that way.
Wonderful.
Other ways to get involved are to become a delivery driver.
Oh, yeah.
The more drivers we have, the greater reach we have, the more food we can get out into the community as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And that's so important. I mean, maybe you can wait for hygiene items for a minute, but if you're hungry and you've reached out for help, you need it now.
Yeah.
You asked me about upcoming events,
sorry,
and initiatives. So we just finished a wonderful summer cycle of participating in a lot of outreach events. We still have a couple more coming up.
Okay.
We'll be participating in the Kendall Yards Night Market on September 11th. We've been asked to come and set up a table over there, and we hope people will stop by our table and learn about how we feed Spokane. We just got a square so that we can take donations very quickly, very easily. So please stop by our table and think about making a donation. You can cover the cost of a meal kit for $10.
Yeah.
Or cover the cost of a hygiene kit for $10.
Amazing.
So, you know, if enough of us donate $10, we can feed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Then in October, we'll be at the Women Helping Women's Fund event where attendees will be donating hygiene products for our women's hygiene kits. And we're really grateful to you, to Heather, for everyone here at Women Helping Women. You've been a great supporter. You've taught me a lot. You've modeled what a giving circle can look like. And if you don't know about Women Helping Women's Fund, I'm going to turn the tables on you. Please tell us about it. And how you can become a member of the Giving Circle.
Yes, absolutely. So the event that we are highlighting, Spokane Helpers Network, is Evening of Gratitude. We've been doing it since 2020. And it's just a way to thank people for giving back to the community. We unveil our speaker for our Give Like a Woman event in May, which is very exciting. And yeah, it's just a good night to get together and network. And you came last year, so you know it's pretty loose agenda. It's just a way really to connect, and it's our way of thanking our community. And then we love to highlight a nonprofit. So this year, it's Spokane Helpers Network. Last year, we got so many donations for Family Promise that we highlighted. So we're hoping to at least match that or beat it for Spokane Helpers Network. Tickets are $20, and all of that ticket price goes to support our Vivian Winston Scholarship. There's heavy apps and drinks, so please come and learn more, even more, about Spokane Helpers Network and drop off donations. And then if you want to get involved as a Giving Circle member at Women Helping Women Fund, you get to come to Evening of Gratitude for free. So that's exciting. $25 or $50 a month, and we provide volunteering and networking and education like this, ways to build community. So yeah, it's exciting. Thanks for the opportunity to plug.
I'm a raving fan.
Likewise, obviously. What are your hopes and your dreams for Spokane Helpers Network, and where do you see the organization going in the next few years?
My hope for the future is that organizations like Spokane Helpers Network will become obsolete. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we close our doors, all the food banks close their doors, and that, you know, hunger would be eradicated and that none of us would be, you know, needed.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, along with that hope is that every family has the opportunity to work in jobs that pay them enough to pay their bills, to live in a safe and secure area, to feed their families. So that's my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a dream instead of a hope, but, you know, I that's where I'm looking anyway.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in the meantime, while food insecurity is a part of everyday life for so many people, my hope that is that our community members would develop an intolerance for hunger.
Yeah.
That it's just not acceptable. It's just not okay for elderly people, disabled people to be holed up in their homes without food. Or sending adults, parents, children off for the day where they haven't had dinner the night before. So that's my goal, is just we have this change in mindset. And I think it's already out there for many of us. But, you know, there's one thing about feeling bad about it and wishing it weren't so. And there's another about taking action and doing something. What's the little thing that I can do? Is it donate $10 a month? Is it, you know, bring some plastic bags over to our global headquarters on the South Hill so that we can use them to make meal kits? Yeah. Is it making meal kits? Is it, you know, what is it? What's the one thing that I can do that will have a positive impact and help toward eradicating hunger? But in terms of where we see the network going in the next few years, we know that there will always be people who fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
These are the people who can't reasonably be expected to use food banks, people who don't qualify for any other programs. You know, that unmet need, mm-hmm. that's where we come into play, I hope, and help people who are hungry now and need food now. And we think that our memberships really are filling a gap that I'm not sure anybody else in Spokane is doing that. I mean, we have Meals on Wheels, but you have to be 60.
Yeah.
So if I'm 59
yeah.
and I can't get out and I don't have any food, I hope people will call Spokane Helpers Network. But absolutely. So I see us just continuing to fulfill our mission, and I hope that there will be more businesses and community members that will come alongside us to help.
Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about your work and how they can support your efforts? We've covered a lot, so.
Well, maybe if I get philosophical for a moment. I guess if there's one message that I'd want to leave you with is that we need to lead with compassion. You know, we're humans. This is why we're on the planet, to help one another. You know, maybe once in a blue moon you help somebody who really didn't need it or whatever, but 99.9% of the time when people reach out for help, just err on the side of helping them.
Yeah, most people, most of the time, do need the help.
They need it.
Give back. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I've been so excited to chat with you. I think that this is such a fascinating nonprofit and the impact in the community is just amazing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone listening. Again, please join us on October 11th at Evening of Gratitude so we can cheer Susan on in person and the amazing work of the network. And if you do attend, please make sure to bring a donation along. And if you can't attend, donate to Spokane Helpers Network. $10 for a meal kit. That's pretty amazing. We'll be back next month speaking with another nonprofit making an impact in the community. And in the meantime, go volunteer. Go help. Go make our community better. All right. Thanks, everyone.